Ladies and gentlemen, recording from Los Angeles, California. Welcome to another edition of the one and only podcast known to the world as Sean's Sports Stop, where Sean Tiplisky gives his unique opinion on the biggest news stories in sports.
On today's episode of Sean's Sports Stop, episode number 228 to be exact, I will be reporting the biggest news in sports and giving my unique opinion on all the stories. I already made episode number 228 twice. I recorded it and everything. But what happened was I usually record through Anchor with my mic and things like that. But I've been recording for a while with the Anchor app with no kind of sound equipment because I've been having some issues with my equipment. So then once in a while, I would also use QuickTime Player on my computer to record with no equipment as well. And when I got my equipment back, I obviously can't use it with my phone. It needs to be used with a computer. So I used the headphones and mic with QuickTime. And then I wasn't able to post it because the file size all of a sudden got too big using the equipment. Anchor's limit is 250 megabytes and mine were about 300 to 320. So there was no way to post it. So I have two good episodes. So I'm going to have to go over some stuff that I already went over, but you guys haven't heard it yet. But that's okay because I enjoy talking about sports that much. So every episode of my podcast is available on every podcast platform that includes iTunes and Spotify. Visit my website at seansportstop.com for access to all episodes, to see which famous athletes I have interviewed, and to read the articles that I post on my blog. I'm actually very close to posting another article, and it's titled Why the Lakers and Dodgers Need to Make a Big Move Right Now, and now is in all caps. So it's a very detailed article with lots of information. I put my heart and soul into it, so please check it out if you can. If you enjoy the podcast, feel free to leave a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps me out a lot. And the last thing I want to say is I want to thank Crimson IT for sponsoring this video. They are a Los Angeles-based managed IT services company that specializes in ultra-reliable and highly secure IT services for the small and medium-sized companies. If you would like to see if any of your company email passwords have been stolen on the internet, reach out to them. And for listeners of my podcast, they will run a free scan on the dark web for any information related to your company that has been leaked, stolen, or sold. Crimson IT can be reached at 310-838-3700 by phone, or crimsonit.com is their website. You can contact them through there as well. And you know, without further ado, let's get down to it. We have an absolutely loaded episode today. So the first story has to do with the NFL. So New England Patriots defensive play caller Brian Flores agreed to terms with the Miami Dolphins to become their new head coach. The Dolphins announced the news Monday following the Patriots' 13-3 win over the Los Angeles Rams in Super Bowl 53. I'm still not over that, by the way, and I probably won't be for a while. But I do explain in my most recent article that has yet to be published what may make me get over it quicker. But anyway, general manager Chris Greyer provided his thoughts on the hiring in a statement, which read, quote, "Two things that stand out immediately when you meet Brian are his football intelligence and leadership skills. Brian is widely respected throughout the NFL. He paid his dues in New England working in personnel on offense, defense, and special teams, which helped him build a great understanding of what it takes to win. If you talk with anyone who has played for him or worked with him, you will hear about his ability to lead and get the most out of people. Brian sets a high standard for his players and coaches, and we are completely aligned with our vision on how to build a successful organization." The 37-year-old joined the Patriots all the way back in 2004, now 15 years ago, as a scouting assistant, and slowly worked his way up the coaching chain. While still listed as New England's linebackers coach, he effectively took over former defensive coordinator Matt Patricia, who left to coach the Detroit Lions last year. But there is no reason to call him the new defensive coordinator because Bill Belichick is a defensive-minded head coach. He was a defensive coordinator himself back in the day. So in Flores' only season in charge of the unit, the Patriots' defense ranked 21st in yards and 7th in points allowed. New England was also 16th in defensive efficiency for Football Outsiders, but they were 30th in sacks, and they sacked the Rams 4 times in the Super Bowl, so he did something right. This wasn't the first season he was on the radar for a team needing to fill a head coaching vacancy. Prior to selecting Steve Wilks, who was ultimately fired, the Arizona Cardinals brought him in for a formal interview. Ahead of the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine, Cardinals general manager Steve Keim spoke highly of his meeting with Flores per Andy Hart of the Patriots' official website, saying, quote, Brian was a guy I didn't know a lot about, had the recommendations from a lot of different people, was really impressed with him in the interview process, maybe a little bit more just about his presence. A lot of times you get to know a guy and early on you can see that this guy can command the room, and there is no doubt in my mind that Brian Flores has that skill, that he can command the room, that he can hold 53 guys' attention and earn their respect. That's really what it's about. The great ones in the league to me can do that. So, that's that. Good move for the Dolphins, in my opinion. You know, he was on a winning team. He knows how to win. He knows what it takes. He's hardworking, it seems. He can command the room, like the Arizona Cardinals GM said. And hopefully he can, also it's worth noting he goes from the Patriots, who just won the Super Bowl, to the Miami Dolphins, who have the lowest odds out of all 32 NFL teams to win Super Bowl 54. So we'll see how successful he'll be able to make the team. Switching gears to the NBA. So the New York Knicks have already been contacted by teams regarding a potential trade for Wesley Matthews ahead of Thursday's NBA trade deadline. Mark Berman of the New York Post reported the Knicks have received, quote, multiple inquiries about the veteran forward who they acquired last week in a trade that sent Kristaps Porzingis to the Dallas Mavericks. Mark Stein of the New York Times listed the Houston Rockets, Oklahoma City Thunder, Toronto Raptors, Golden State Warriors, and Philadelphia 76ers as teams that are interested. This would be in the buyout market. So the Knicks acquired Matthews, who is now 32 years old, in large part because of his expiring contract. They sent Porzingis, Tim Hardaway Jr., Courtney Lee, and Trey Burke to Dallas for Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Matthews, and two future first-round picks. The move gives the Knicks more than $70 million in cap space this summer, and their ultimate goal is to sign two big free agents like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Matthews had 5 points, only 5 points and one rebound in 28 minutes in his Knicks debut on Sunday. Knicks head coach David Fizdale thrust all three of his new acquisitions into the rotation immediately and was not dismissive of Matthews or Jordan sticking around long term, saying, quote, both of those guys have played some playoff series on some really good basketball teams, Fizdale said per Berman, and who knows what the future holds for these guys. They're ours now, free agents at the end of the year, but who knows? I want them to come here and enjoy the process with us and really help the young guys. So that's that. I mean, the contending team should be interested in Wesley Matthews. He's a solid 3-and-D guy, and it makes sense. Now switching gears to the NFL, back to the NFL. The future of Oklahoma Sooners quarterback Kyler Murray remains up in the air. He already has a contract with the Oakland Athletics to play baseball, but he's also put his name in the 2019 NFL draft and could choose to pursue football. On the Stick to Football podcast, Bleacher Report's Matt Miller said he spoke to several NFL sources about how the Murray situation might play out. Quote, he's still going in the first round, but he needs to get a effing agent and do it the right way, one person told Miller, almost slipped out there. Another added that Murray was making a leverage play to get more money from the Athletics. Quote, this is LeVar Ball all over again, another NFL insider said, referencing Murray's dad managing the situation. So for those of you that don't know, LeVar Ball has been very outspoken, and I'll get to him later in the episode. He's the father of Los Angeles Lakers point guard Lonzo Ball. Murray's undecided future remains one of the most fascinating storylines surrounding both the NFL draft and MLB's upcoming spring training. He's remained tight-lipped to this point. When the Athletics drafted Murray last year, he agreed to a $4.66 million contract while agreeing to play football for only one more season, but that was in college, not the NFL. He then won the Heisman Trophy while throwing for 4,361 yards and 42 touchdowns, while also rushing for an additional 1,001 yards and 12 touchdowns. That made him a likely first-round pick in the NFL draft, which makes his decision with choosing between football and baseball all the more complicated. Well, you know, while he could play both sports, like Deion Sanders, who was a cornerback, and Bo Jackson, who was a running back, no quarterback has ever played both, you know, in the NFL and MLB. But if he gets drafted by the NFL team, which, again, it would likely be in the first round, he would be the only athlete ever to be drafted in the first round of both the NFL and MLB draft. So Jeff Passan tweeted, quote, during a meeting in Dallas today, the possibility of Oakland guaranteeing money in addition to Murray's $4.66 million signing bonus was raised. Sources tell ESPN to do so, Oakland would need to add Murray to his 40-man roster. He still could develop in the minor leagues. Still, the notion of a player who has never taken an at-bat in the minor leagues winding up with a big league deal shows how special a situation Kyler Murray's is. It's not just the Oakland A's invested in him, it's Major League Baseball too. Murray and MLB would be a coup. So honestly, my opinion on this, you know, in my opinion, Kyler should play baseball because for a few reasons, there's more guaranteed money. It does take longer to get to it, but it's a lot safer, less risk of brain injuries and, you know, traumatic injuries to the body, long-term injuries and things like that. But I say what takes precedent over all of that is if his heart really is with football, go with football 100%. You know, they say home is where the heart is, and if his heart is with football, again, I think he should go with that. No matter if there's less guaranteed money in football, if that's what he enjoys doing more between the two, the money will come. Because if you find something that you enjoy doing and you are able to do it, the money will come. That's just it. The money becomes a byproduct when you're doing what you love. So follow your heart, Kyler, if you ever hear this podcast episode. So now switching gears to the NBA. New Orleans Pelicans center Anthony Davis has reportedly informed Pelicans management of, quote, a handful of teams that he would re-sign with once he becomes a free agent in 2020, per Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN. And from now on, I'm not going to say every time Adrian Wojnarowski reports something, I'm just going to say according to Woj, because, you know, that's a very long last name to say, and pretty much every NBA story that comes out is reported by him. So the Los Angeles Lakers and New York Knicks are two options that have already been reported, but the Boston Celtics are reportedly not included on his list. He would also reportedly re-sign with the Milwaukee Bucks, although they haven't discussed any kind of trade with the Pelicans, per Woj. Shams Charania of The Athletic later reported Davis would also sign with the Los Angeles Clippers, but, you know, it's clear that the Clippers' focus is towards this summer possibly signing Kawhi Leonard, so I strongly doubt that they would offer anything for Anthony Davis. Davis hopes to be traded before the deadline on Thursday, but his flexibility could allow more teams to get involved in a bidding war for the superstar. So we'll see. I mean, I would love him on the Lakers. And speaking of the Lakers and Anthony Davis, there's an update on that possibility. So trade talks between the Los Angeles Lakers and New Orleans Pelicans revolving around Anthony Davis are reportedly heating up. On Monday, Woj of ESPN reported the Lakers have increased their offer to the Pelicans to include, quote, multiple young players, multiple draft picks, and Pelican salary cap relief as they continue their hot pursuit of the superstar big man. So Woj tweeted, quote, Lakers president Magic Johnson and Pelicans GM Dell Demps have had multiple conversations today, league sources tell ESPN. There's no sense how much progress sides have made progress toward a possible trade, but the Lakers have absolutely gotten more serious in the discussions. Brad Turner of the Los Angeles Times offered the specifics of that proposed deal, which included Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Kyle Kuzma. So he tweeted, quote, landed in Indy, update on Lakers-Pelicans talks, Magic Johnson, Dell Demps talk twice today per source. Lakers willing to give Pelicans cap relief for Anthony Davis by taking Solomon Hill for Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, Michael Beasley, and two first-round picks. Lakers now waiting on Pelicans to respond per source, but it's all that the Pelicans wanted to trade AD, young talent from the Lakers, cap relief, and draft picks. So that's the update. I mean, the Lakers are really going all in now. You know, it's a huge offer. They're offering six players and two first-round picks, so that's a pretty serious offer. Speaking of the Lakers, they might trade for someone else as well. So the Los Angeles Lakers have discussed a trade for Jabari Parker with the Chicago Bulls. ESPN.com's Brian Windhorst reported on the Hoop Collective podcast. In one proposed deal, Parker would go to Los Angeles with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope heading into Chicago. KCP has the power to veto any trade, though, which could make moving the veteran guard difficult for the Lakers. The Los Angeles Times' Tanya Ganguly reported in December that Caldwell-Pope's representatives were working, quote, to find him a better situation. The 25-year-old has seen his minutes go from 33.2 per game in 2017-18 to only 23.9 per game this season. Although he'd likely have a big role with the Bulls, he may not want to go to a team that owns the NBA's fourth worst record at 12-41. If the Lakers and Bulls were to swap KCP and Parker, it would essentially be an exchange of unwanted veterans on expiring deals. One NBA executive told Bleacher Report Ken Berger the Bulls were prepared to, quote, trade Parker for anything they can get. And, you know, it seems like they would trade him for KCP, if anything. So now switching gears to college basketball. So Arizona Wildcats men's basketball head coach Sean Miller is reportedly facing a cloudy future. According to a report from Pat Ford, Pete Thamel, and Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports, Arizona is one of the schools under formal NCAA inquiry following the FBI's investigation into college basketball corruption. The report noted there is, quote, a confluence of complications that cast a shroud over Miller's future as a result. Among those complications is the upcoming trial of Christian Dawkins, a former runner for agent Andy Miller, as well as, quote, potential NCAA fallout from the recent felony plea in federal court by former Arizona assistant coach Emmanuel Book Richardson, which amplifies the question of how the NCAA will handle Miller's responsibility for the actions in his program. In October 2018, Dawkins, James Gatto, and Merle Code were found guilty of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Gatto and Code previously worked for Adidas and all were accused of providing recruit benefits against NCAA rules in an effort to steer them toward Adidas programs. Mark Schlabach of ESPN.com reported in February 2018, exactly a year ago, that FBI wiretaps caught Miller discussing a $100,000 payment to then-recruit DeAndre Ayton with Dawkins. Ayton went on to be the number one pick in the 2018 draft by the Phoenix Suns after playing at Arizona. It should be noted that the Yahoo report cited ESPN's report on the subject as, quote, controversial, and pointed out Miller denied paying prospects after it came out. Ford, Thamel, and Wetzel noted Dawkins' next trial is scheduled for April, and his lawyer Steve Haney said they do not plan on entering a plea deal. That means Miller could be subpoenaed as the defense puts forth an effort to show Dawkins wasn't bribing coaches. The Yahoo report cited sources who said Miller, Richardson, and former Arizona assistant Joe Pasternak communicated with Dawkins on a regular basis. Dawkins even said he went to so many practices, it was, quote, like I'm on the team. As a result of the FBI's probe, Arizona hired outside legal help to investigate Miller per Yahoo. The report explained the school may have to be proactive to move on from Miller. So, it's very unfortunate, but I'm not going to give any other comment other than that. So now switching gears to the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals officially filled their head coaching vacancy Monday with the addition of Los Angeles Rams quarterbacks coach Zach Taylor. So two new head coaches were on the staff of the Rams and Patriots are now gone, the two Super Bowl teams. While the deal had been rumored for some time, the team had to wait for the Rams' season to end to announce the hire. The Bengals finally could Monday after the Rams lost to the Patriots. Taylor discussed his excitement with the move in a statement, saying, quote, I am happy and fortunate to join the Cincinnati Bengals as head coach. This is a great organization with good people and a rich history, and I'm excited to get started. I'm looking to add to that history by setting high standards and holding everyone here accountable to those standards. There's a lot of work to do, and this is day one. We're going to attack every day with enthusiasm to get this team ready to go. The 35-year-old has spent the past 2 years with the Rams under Sean McVay, working as an assistant receivers coach in 2017, before being promoted to quarterbacks coach in 2018. He served in that role with the Miami Dolphins for 3 years before being promoted to offensive coordinator on an interim basis for 5 games at the end of the 2015 season. He was also the offensive coordinator at the University of Cincinnati in 2016, so he's familiar with the area. This came after a noble college career as a quarterback for Nebraska, winning the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year award in 2006, 13 years ago. Despite having limited experience above the role of a position coach, he proved to be invaluable with the Rams in producing the league's number two offense. Quote, he's instrumental in our third down game planning, Sean McVay said of Taylor per Andy Benoit of Sports Illustrated. And he doesn't just agree with everything, he challenges you, but in a way that's very welcoming. He has a great emotional intelligence and awareness of how to communicate in a way that makes people's guards go down. That's a great trait for a coach to have. The endorsement definitely helps his candidacy and also the fact that the Rams reached the Super Bowl. According to Albert Breer of the MMQB, Taylor had interviews with the Bengals, Denver Broncos, and Arizona Cardinals as well. So we'll see how successful, he is with the Bengals. Now switching gears to more NBA, maybe a Anthony Davis to Lakers trade will not happen after all. So in pursuit of New Orleans Pelicans star Anthony Davis ahead of Thursday's trade deadline, the Los Angeles Lakers have to overcome significant support within the Pelicans organization to keep Davis through the deadline, according to Woj. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN.com offered more insight into the Lakers' perspective. She tweeted, quote, yes, so far the Lakers have felt conversations with New Orleans have been one-sided and they're growing increasingly pessimistic about the Pelicans' willingness to do a deal with them. Woj later reported the Pelicans are looking for 4 first-round picks as well as second-round picks in a, quote, historic haul of picks. He added, quote, Pels want to be compensated, perhaps even overcompensated, to even consider a deal with LA now. Fletcher Mackel of WDSU in New Orleans reported the Pelicans are holding off on a Davis trade now in order to wait until this summer when the Boston Celtics can enter the mix. New Orleans is reportedly looking to make Jason Tatum the centerpiece of the deal, not one of any of the Lakers' young stars in Ingram, Zoe, or Kuzma. So that's the latest update. I mean, it's I don't understand why the Celtics would trade Tatum because he's their second best player behind Kyrie Irving, who might leave this summer, who honestly will likely leave. It's not certain yet, but I think he will leave the Celtics. So either way, you're probably not going to pair up Anthony Davis and Kyrie. And I'll get into what Kyrie is thinking about those rumors later in this episode. And AD has made it clear that Boston is not one of the four teams on his list that he would re-sign with if he's traded there. So it doesn't make sense for anyone really in this situation. Speaking of not making sense, LaVar Ball is back and he is coming with a vengeance. LaVar Ball's prophecy came true as Lonzo Ball landed with the Los Angeles Lakers. Successfully directing Lonzo to his next stop may prove to be more difficult. The Ball family patriarch told ESPN's Om Young Misuk he doesn't wish for Lonzo to end up on the New Orleans Pelicans. Quote, we want to be in LA, LaVar said, but if he's traded, I don't want Lonzo in New Orleans. Phoenix is the best fit for him, and I'm going to speak it into existence. Lonzo's future with the Lakers appears to be on shaky ground as the team pursues a deal for the Pelicans star Anthony Davis, and he would be a part of that package. Whatever the ultimate combination of picks and players proves to be, Ball would almost certainly be a part of Los Angeles' package to New Orleans. And honestly, I don't get why LeVar wants Lonzo in Phoenix. I mean, they're the worst team in the NBA, the worst team in the West, in the loaded Western Conference. New Orleans is a pretty solid team, especially if they get Kuzma, Ingram, Rondo, Lance, and Beasley on that team with him, basically the fringe Lakers in New Orleans. And he wouldn't be behind Drew Holiday, because Drew Holiday doesn't want to play point guard. He wants to play shooting guard. So that's a nice combo. But LeVar's comments from Monday mesh with what Shams Charania of The Athletic reported on January 28th. Charania tweeted that, quote, Ball's camp prefers Ball to be moved to a third team that doesn't have an established point guard. A day later, Tanya Ganguly of the Los Angeles Times reported, quote, Ball's camp has concerns about how crowded the Pelicans' backcourt is, and that the 21-year-old point guard preferred to go to the Chicago Bulls or New York Knicks if the Lakers traded him. Maybe the Lakers can do a trade. Maybe they can trade Lonzo to Chicago for Jabari Parker and maybe a draft pick. I think that's pretty fair. While Ball would probably be the number one option at the point anywhere he goes, Phoenix would offer one of the easiest paths to the starting rotation. The Suns are throwing out De'Anthony Melton and Eli Okobo, two guys that I've never heard of, with Devin Booker moving over from shooting guard to run the offense. And a team with Booker and 2018 number one pick DeAndre Ayton, Lonzo would fit in nicely with Phoenix, but still it's kind of strange. So now switching gears to MLB, so this episode is going to cover the big news from Monday, February 4th and Tuesday, February 5th, 2019. We just finished with Monday's stories. We're now going to be transitioning into Tuesday's stories. And it's starting with the MLB, believe it or not. So New York Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge is in favor of the Bronx Bombers pursuing Bryce Harper in free agency. In an interview with TMZ Sports on Monday, Judge was firmly behind the idea of adding the superstar slugger to the fold. Quote, anytime you can add an MVP to a team, it's going to make them better, Judge said. Judge even suggested he would be willing to move out of his right field spot to accommodate Harper, saying, quote, wherever he wants to play, we'll make it work. The Yankees have not been linked to Harper recently, and Gabe Lackus of USA Today listed the San Diego Padres, Washington Nationals, Philadelphia Phillies, and Chicago White Sox as the four finalists to sign him on Monday. If New York did sign Harper, though, it would require some creativity on the part of manager Aaron Boone. Excuse me, I'm still coming off the time when I was sick. Either Judge or Harper could move to left field, while Aaron Hicks, man center, Giancarlo Stanton serves as a designated hitter, and Brett Gardner settles into a role as an extra outfielder. The Yankees don't need another big bat in their already stacked lineup, but Harper would give them the type of lefty power swing that would be perfect for Yankee Stadium. Judge, Stanton, and Harper would form one of the best power-hitting trios in recent memory. Stanton and Judge are two seasons removed from 59 and 52 homer efforts, respectively. Stanton hit 38 in his first season as Yankee, while Judge finished with 27 in only 112 games. Harper hit 249 with 34 home runs and 100 RBIs with the Nats last season, but his career high came in his MVP season of 2015 when he hit 42 out of the park. So that'd be pretty insane if Harper winds up with the Yankees, but I doubt it. I'm pretty sure I remember the Yankees GM saying that it's not going to happen, but if you're a Judge, what are you supposed to say? Are you supposed to be not welcoming of someone like Bryce Harper? So now switching gears to more MLB, a very unfortunate situation at Dodger Stadium. So a Los Angeles Dodgers fan died after being struck by a foul ball during a game at Dodger Stadium in August. According to Outside the Lines' William Weinbaum, the Los Angeles County Coroner determined Linda Goldblum died after suffering a, quote, acute intracranial hemorrhage due to a history of blunt force trauma, which happened during the Dodgers' 5-4 12-inning win over the San Diego Padres. Goldblum was hit in the ninth inning when a foul ball off a Padres batter sailed above the protective netting behind home plate on the first base side. Goldblum's daughter, Jana Brody, told Weinbaum that medical personnel transported her to the LA County USC Medical Center, where she underwent emergency brain surgery. Goldblum died August 29th after her family took her off her ventilator. The Dodgers provided a statement about Goldblum's death to Weinbaum, which says, quote, Mr. and Mrs. Goldblum were great Dodgers fans who regularly attended games. We were deeply saddened by this tragic accident and the passing of Mrs. Goldblum. This matter has been resolved between the Dodgers and the Goldblum family. We cannot comment further on the matter. MLB in 2015 released the results of a study that recommended teams increase the area covered by protective netting or barrier to that within 70 feet of home plate. The league announced last February that all 30 stadiums would have netting that extended to the far end of each team's dugout. That came after a young fan was hospitalized in 2017 after she was hit by a foul ball at Yankee Stadium. Brody advocated for further protective netting going forward, saying, quote, I'd love to see the netting extended vertically, and we know it doesn't block the view, she said. Raise it a little higher. What's the hurt in that? I agree with that. It's very unfortunate that this woman passed away. She was a mother of three and a grandmother of seven, so extremely unfortunate. Many people lost a loved one because of a foul ball. So why not extend the netting? I mean, it just makes sense. So now switching gears to the NBA. More on Anthony Davis, and this is today's rumors. Boston Celtics guard Kyrie Irving is reportedly unhappy with the perception that his free agency decision will be influenced by those of Golden State Warriors star Kevin Durant and New Orleans Pelicans big man Anthony Davis. According to SI.com's Chris Mannix, Irving said his decision is firmly in his hands. Quote, Irving hates the narrative that other players, Kevin Durant in New York, Davis in Boston, can influence his decision, the ex-teammate said. He gets frustrated when he feels people are trying to manipulate him. In his mind, it doesn't matter if it's Davis or LeBron James. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, and to assume otherwise is disrespectful. Irving can become a free agent during the offseason, as can Durant. Meanwhile, Davis has 1 year remaining on his deal before he's eligible to hit free agency. Before the start of the 2018-19 season, Irving said at a Celtics season ticket holders event that he planned to resign with the franchise, saying, quote, I've shared it with some of my teammates as well as the organization as well as everyone else in Boston. If you guys will have me back, I plan on resigning here next year. Irving's conviction has waned recently, however. When asked about his plans last week, he responded, quote, ask me July 1st. So, you know, so I don't blame Kyrie. He wants to go where he wants to go, and he doesn't like people, you know, saying, oh, if AD gets traded to Boston, Kyrie will stay, or, oh, if KD signs with New York, Kyrie will follow him. So that makes him seem like he's not in control of his own situation, so I don't blame him for not liking those kind of rumors. Now switching gears to more Anthony Davis. So if Anthony Davis plays again for the New Orleans Pelicans, it likely won't be until after Thursday's trade deadline. According to Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, the Pelicans kept Davis out of action on Monday night, even though the superstar recovered from his left finger injury and was healthy enough to play. Haynes added, quote, Davis, 25, eagerly wanted to suit up at home against the Indiana Pacers after recovering from a left finger avulsion that sidelined him for a little more than 2 weeks, sources said, but the organization elected to keep him inactive. There's the impression that his absence could potentially extend until the conclusion of Thursday's trade deadline, sources said. That's smart because you don't want him to get injured and then any kind of trade that you agree upon or kind of earlier to fall through. So that's just smart by the Pelicans. But it's going to be interesting to see if he will play after the trade deadline if no trade materializes. So now switching gears to more NBA. Will there be a big trade between the Raptors and Grizzlies? The Toronto Raptors have reportedly engaged the Memphis Grizzlies in discussions on a blockbuster trade ahead of Thursday's deadline. According to SI.com's Jake Fisher, the Raptors offered point guard Kyle Lowry and center Jonas Valanciunas to the Grizzlies in exchange for guard Mike Conley and center Marc Gasol. Fisher added that Lowry is, quote, aware of the trade talks that the Raptors are holding. Per Fisher, the Grizzlies rejected Toronto's initial offer since they would prefer to receive draft picks and younger assets such as small forward OG Anunoby in a deal involving Conley and Gasol. Michael Grange of Sportsnet reported that the Grizzlies initiated the offer to gauge the market on Conley and Gasol, but he noted that talks, quote, did not progress very far. So that's that. I mean, I think this would be a good move for everyone involved because the Grizzlies get a young point guard in Lowry and Valanciunas, and the Raptors get an established point guard in Conley and Marc Gasol, who's a great center. So we have more on LeVar Ball. For those of you that thought we were done, we are not. He went off in a radio interview. LeVar Ball is not happy with Los Angeles Lakers. In the wake of Lonzo Ball's name being floated in Anthony Davis trade rumors, LeVar Ball appeared on the Doug and Wolf radio show in Arizona and ripped Lakers head coach Luke Walton. So he said, quote, Luke Walton was the worst coach he ever had. It was Magic Johnson who said he was going to be the dang face of the franchise, but Magic ain't doing no coaching, and the only person to kill Lonzo is the coach pulling him out and not having no confidence in him. Everyone who's had confidence in Lonzo just let him go and let him win. That's what he does. He wins. Luke Walton turned him into a loser. A loser's mentality is like, oh, he's young, he'll get it, instead of just letting him go out there and do what he does. The Lakers gave my boy that losing attitude, LeVar added. He continued, quote, I tell you what, Lonzo makes everybody better. That's what he's always did all his life. You don't even hear of Kyle Kuzma if Lonzo don't make him in the Las Vegas Summer League. You see every time Kuzma plays by himself, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram by himself, they don't get nothing. They look raggedy. Wow. Davis didn't escape Ball's wrath either. As LeVar said, quote, AD is good, but he's not a winner. How many playoff games has he won? He's been in the league a long time. There's a difference between players and winners. He also spoke of a pipe dream of seeing his three sons on an NBA team together. He said that LiAngelo Ball should be in the league and even boasted LiAngelo could be the NBA's best two guard. LiAngelo, of course, went undrafted this past summer. Finally, LeVar said the Phoenix Suns were, quote, the best place for Lonzo to end up. It's no secret that the Lakers have been floating him in trade rumors as well, but LeVar definitely didn't hold back. I mean, I think Luke is a good coach. And, you know, Hart, Ingram, and Kuzma are talented players. Lonzo, of course, makes them better because of his skills defensively and distributing the ball, but... You know, I think LeVar went a little bit too far. He should have held back a little bit. and you should have known better, in my opinion. Now switching gears to more NBA, more on Kyrie Irving. An unnamed NBA general manager told Steve Bulpet of the Boston Herald that the Boston Celtics are not listening to offers for five-time All-Star point guard Kyrie Irving. Quote, Boston's not taking calls on Kyrie, the GM told Bulpet. That was made pretty clear. But Bulpet noted why Irving is so important to Boston, saying, quote, but more important than all that to the Celtics is the knowledge that many of the biggest playoff games are won by stars who can make a play when all the offensive and defensive schemes break down. Irving is one of those people who can make something out of nothing, and the Celts are not about to move him when his type is so hard to find, and while they still believe they are close to contending for a title this season. So that's the latest on Kyrie. Transitioning to more NBA, a very unfortunate injury has happened. Washington Wizards star John Wall has suffered a ruptured Achilles and will undergo surgery, the team announced on Tuesday. Wall already had season-ending surgery on his left heel to repair a nagging Achilles injury. According to the Wizards, the five-time All-Star slipped and fell at his home recently, which led to the rupture. He's expected to be out for a year in order to recover. USA Today's Jeff Zilgit provided more information on the injury from Dr. Waimi Doi, the Wizards' Director of Medical Services. So, quote, Wizards' Director of Medical Services and AMP orthopedist Dr. Waimi Doi on John Wall, not completely ruptured. Fall happened January 29th, had slight increase in discomfort after fall. Seemed like tendon was okay at the time. Timeline is center of range, 11 to 15 months is normal range. So, wow. Hopefully John Wall will be better, and wish him nothing but the best in his recovery. Switching gears to more NBA now. So even though Kristaps Porzingis is saying all the right things now, the Dallas Mavericks reportedly weren't high on the list of his preferred destinations. Per Mark Stein of the New York Times, Porzingis and his agent slash brother Giannis Porzingis gave the New York Knicks a small list of teams he wanted to play for prior to being traded on Thursday. Quote, Giannis Porzingis provided the Knicks with a list of four teams he and Kristaps had deemed acceptable trade destinations. Quote, the Nets and the Los Angeles Clippers were among those teams, but Dallas was not on the list. The Knicks, meanwhile, were told Porzingis was prepared to leave the team and continue his knee rehabilitation in Spain if he was not moved by this week's trade deadline. Stein noted the Knicks tried to trade Porzingis to the Utah Jazz for Donovan Mitchell and to the Sacramento Kings for De'Aaron Fox, but they were turned down. Knicks president Steve Mills told MSG Network's Rebecca Harlow on Sunday that Porzingis informed the team he was not going to sign an extension with the team. ESPN, Woj of ESPN reported after the trade that Porzingis had yet to decide on his future with the Mavericks, but I think he'll come around. I think he'll really enjoy playing with Luka Doncic, and I think he'll like Mark Cuban, who's a very player-friendly owner. And with that, we have more on Anthony Davis, believe it or not, and the Lakers. The Los Angeles Lakers have, quote, pulled out of negotiations with the New Orleans Pelicans regarding an Anthony Davis trade, according to the Los Angeles Times' Broderick Turner. Turner reported Tuesday the Lakers had grown frustrated with the Pelicans' quote, outrageous trade demands. Quote, the Lakers were not going to give the Pelicans the 6 to 8 draft picks they wanted for Davis, the person said, knowing that the 4 first-round picks and second-round picks were more than the Lakers would offer. Woj of ESPN reported the Lakers are still willing to, quote, engage with the Pelicans, though, and will wait for a counterproposal. Woj added that the Lakers president of basketball operations, Magic Johnson, and general manager, Rob Pelinka, are, quote, obviously anxious to find a pathway for a trade. The Pelicans appear to reference the situation on Twitter, with their official Twitter account tweeting an emoji with magnifying glass. And Davis provided an added layer of intrigue as he it was seen by people, and then I saw in articles that he liked a picture on Instagram of the Lakers' new and improved offer, and I've already covered that. Now switching gears to more NBA, we now know some participants in the three-point contest. So Golden State Warriors star Stephen Curry will be the man to beat in Charlotte, North Carolina in his hometown during All-Star Weekend as he headlines the field for the 2019 three-point contest. Curry will do battle with his brother Seth, who also grew up in Charlotte as their dad Dell played for the Charlotte Hornets. Defending champion Devin Booker, Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, Damian Lillard, and Dirk Nowitzki are the other notable names taking part. So that's that. Now switching gears to who is a part of the dunk contest. So the contestants for the 2019 NBA Slam Dunk Contest were made official Tuesday, headlined by new New York Knicks point guard Dennis Smith Jr. The full four-player lineup includes Smith, Miles Bridges of the Charlotte Hornets, Hamidou Diallo of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and John Collins of the Atlanta Hawks. So that's that. Switching gears to more NBA, the Los Angeles Lakers, with all the trade rumors going around, did not show up to play against the Indiana Pacers. The Indiana Pacers earned their third win in a row with a 136-94 victory over the Los Angeles Lakers on Tuesday night. Indiana built a 23-point halftime lead and never relented for an easy win at Bankers Life Fieldhouse thanks to 22 points and 4 blocks from Miles Turner. The team also finished 19 of 34 from three-point range in what became a shooting clinic. After a mini slump following Victor Oladipo's injury, the Pacers are back on track with their 35-19 record, so they're contenders in the Eastern Conference. Meanwhile, it was a historic loss for the Lakers, as ESPN Stats and Info tweeted, quote, "The Lakers' 42-point loss was the worst by a LeBron James team in a game that LeBron played. The Lakers have lost 11 games by 40-plus in franchise history. Seven of those 11 losses have come since 2014. LeBron finished with 18 points and 9 assists in his second game back from a groin injury, and he became the fifth player in NBA history to reach 32,000 points. However, the Lakers fell to 27-27. It's the first time they aren't above 500 since they started at 6-6 through 12 games of the season. So, I know, pretty bad loss. Speaking of the Lakers trade rumors, Kyle Kuzma commented on the trade rumors going around. So, the Los Angeles Lakers are having a difficult time avoiding the latest trade rumors, although second-year forward Kyle Kuzma discussed one strategy that could work. He said, quote, "Maybe I should bird box," he joked in reference to Sandra Bullock and other characters wearing blindfolds in a recent movie, per Bill Oram of The Athletic. So, that's what Kuzma said. So, I'm glad that he's at least having fun with it and not being so uptight about it like Lonzo and LeVar Ball, to be honest. And I'm a huge fan of the Ball family. Now, switching gears to the NFL. So, Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Nick Foles has declined his $20.6 million mutual option for the 2019 season and will pay the team $2 million to become a free agent, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. The Eagles picked up Foles' option earlier Tuesday per ESPN.com's Tim McMahon, but he bought his way out of it as expected. The Eagles must now decide whether to use the roughly $25 million franchise tag on Nick Foles, which would put them in a tricky salary cap situation if they didn't find a trade partner by the start of the 2019 league year, or let him stay a free agent and take the compensatory pick they receive in 2020. Foles is now 30 years old. He will be an attractive option for any team looking to upgrade at quarterback with a proven veteran. He appeared in 5 games during the 2018 season for the Eagles, throwing for 1,413 yards, 7 touchdowns and 4 interceptions while completing 72.3% of his passes, so pretty good stats. The Eagles were in 4-1 in his 5 starts, and they won the last 3 games of the season to sneak into the playoffs. Foles then led them to a win over the Chicago Bears on the road in the wildcard round before they lost to the New Orleans Saints in the divisional round. So, I mean, we'll see. And, you know, Foles is definitely a starter in this league. So now switching gears to the NBA to close out the big news section of this episode. The Los Angeles Lakers made a trade, but it does not involve Anthony Davis. Swingman Reggie Bullock will be traded for the third time in his career. The Detroit Pistons will trade Bullock to the Los Angeles Lakers, according to Shams Cherney of The Athletic. Detroit will receive Svetislav Mikhailiuk and a draft pick in return for the veteran guard. This comes after Tanya Ganguly of the Los Angeles Times reported Saturday the Lakers were one of multiple teams to reach out to the Pistons regarding Bullock's availability. While she noted the Pistons weren't, quote, very interested in moving him for what they've been offered at the time, this return package changed their mind. Bullock is playing on an expiring contract, so the Pistons were able to get something for him in return, which is a plus for them. He was a first-round pick in 2013 and has played for the Los Angeles Clippers, Phoenix Suns, and Pistons. The Clippers traded him to the Suns in January 2015, and Phoenix moved him to Detroit in July of that year. He's averaging 12 points, 2.7 rebounds, and 2.5 assists a game, all of which are career highs, and he's shooting over 40% from three. So, you know, at first I didn't like this trade because I love Svi Mikhailiuk, but, you know, it's a smart trade because he can help the Lakers win now, and Svi kind of can't. He's a project, and, you know, I like the trade for everyone involved. Now switching gears to the Los Angeles sports teams to close out this loaded episode of Sean's Sports Stuff. Starting with the Lakers, as I said, they got killed by the Pacers by over 40 points. The Lakers will look to bounce back as they play on the trade deadline day this Thursday, February 7th at 5 p.m. Pacific time against the Boston Celtics on the road. The game's going to be broadcasted nationally on TNT. The Clippers played today, and bad for me and fellow Laker fans, the Clippers beat the Charlotte Hornets 117-115 on the road. The Clippers are now 30-25, while the Hornets fall to 26-27. The Clippers will look to avenge the Lakers' loss to the Pacers as they take on the Pacers on Thursday, February 7th at 4 p.m. Pacific time on the road. The Los Angeles Kings played today, and they got a big win against the New Jersey Devils 5-1 on the road. It was 1-1, and then the Kings just scored 4 goals in the third like it was nothing. I was watching the game. The Kings are now 22-27-4, while the Devils are 20-25-7. For the Kings, Andre Kopitar had 3 assists. Tyler Toffoli had 2 goals. Michael Amadio had 1 assist. Drew Doughty had an assist. Carl Hagelin had an assist. Adrian Kempe had an assist. Ilya Kovalchuk had a goal against his former team. He was booed every time he touched the puck. And Dion Phaneuf had a goal, his first goal as a King. The Kings will look to make it 3 wins in a row as they take on the Philadelphia Flyers on the road this Thursday, February 7th at 4 p.m. Pacific time. The Anaheim Ducks played today as well, and they lost on the road 4-1 against the Montreal Canadiens. The Canadiens are now 30-18-6, while the Ducks fall to 21-24-9. The Ducks have now lost many games in a row. The last time they won a game was, let's see, what was the last time? The last time they won a game was against the New Jersey Devils on January 19th, 3-2. So that was almost a month ago. And they have now lost one. They lost 3-0 against the Islanders on January 20th. 5-1 against the St. Louis Blues on January 23rd. 9-3 against the Winnipeg Jets on February 2nd. 6-1 against the Maple Leafs yesterday. 4-1 against the Canadiens today. So they've been getting blown out. And they've now lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row, dating back to January 20th. They will look to get back in the win column as they take on the Ottawa Senators this Thursday, February 7th at 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is all we have for episode number 228 of Sean's Sports Talk. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate all the support. This is the first 40-minute episode in a while. And as always, until next time.